preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, what a show today. Hey, we got Persia White from UPN. She's on the show today.
She is.
Yes.
She's from the show Girlfriends.
On UPN, which is that network that exists in some cities and not in others. She'll be on the show today. Also, we're going to be talking with Darlene and Emma Parsons.
Oh, isn't she the famous author?
Yes, she'll be joining us. Singing Parrots, Mellow Mutts, and Stinky Butts. That's all on the show today.
What?
1-866-405-8405.
And I know this is your favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a caller on the line. Who's calling?
Look at her tickle.
This is Mark.
Hi, Mark. Where are you calling from?
Not a word, Edgewise.
Wisconsin, the Badger State.
The Badger State, Wisconsin. Is that because they have some kind of team from there, or is it just an infestation of Badgers?
Well, it's a college thing. It's, you know, the Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh, college football, huh?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, big football state.
Okay, I learned something new today.
Big into my football.
What can we do for you?
I have a question. I work all day, and I leave my dog in a crate, and I'm just wondering if that's wrong. Or
sounds like a song. I work all day, I leave my dog in a crate.
Country song.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. What about it? You just wonder if you should do that and leave your dog in the crate all day?
Yeah, or if I, you know, leave him out, or because he pees all over the house and everything. When I come home, I got to pick it all up. And
it's, you know, it's not really fair to the dog to leave him in the crate if you're going to be gone for 8 hours or more. If possible, if you can, I don't know how far away you work from your home, but if you can get home at lunchtime and give the dog a break, let it run around for a few minutes outside and go to the bathroom, or if there's someone in your neighborhood, or maybe you can pay a pet sitter or somebody to come in on a daily basis while you're gone in the middle of the day. Is the dog a small dog or a large dog?
It's a small dog. It's a Chihuahua.
Yeah, you know, they don't hold their bladders as well. And sometimes what you can also do with a small dog is you can litter train it. There's some products on the market that you can get, these little household litter boxes for small dogs. Or if you can find, you know, like I said, a pet sitter or someone to come in the house.
What kind of job do you have? Can you take your Chihuahua to work? I see. I take that for granted. We take our animals to work.
Yeah.
I wish I could take them to work with me, but I can't do that.
Uh huh. Well, try to. You know, there's also doggy daycares. You know, you could
doggy
leave it.
Daycare. Yeah.
Yeah. You could leave it. At a doggy daycare during the week, it would be able to play with other animals. But I would try to find someone. If you can't make it home, try to find someone—a pet sitter or a friend, someone to come in. Or if you can find a doggy daycare, because that's
probably
really
pretty
tough.
Lonely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really tough on the little ones to be in a crate.
How's he reacting? Does he have any kind of separation anxiety, or does he freak out? Or
I just gets excited when I get home and I let him out.
I bet
he's ready to play.
Yeah, if you can, try to figure out a way so he's not kept in that crate all day by himself.
Okay.
Thanks
for calling, Mark, from the Badger State, as I learned it. 1-866-405-8405.
This is Animal Radio Network.
You know, if you don't get through on the phones to for those commercials, I mean, for the cartridges.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
If you have a question and the phones are busy, you can email us at yourvoice@animalradio.com.
Right. Not my voice, but
your voice at animalradio.com.
Yes.
And we get lots of email. In fact, we have a little bit over here. We'll try to read a little bit later on in the show. Persia White.
She's the co-star of that top-rated UPN sitcom, Girlfriends.
Did someone give you that line to read, the top-rated UPN sitcom? Because
no. I just know these things.
I know her from actually the animal world, because she's a big animal advocate.
Yes, she is.
And also a vegetarian.
And she has that new controversial ad out with PETA that's getting a lot of...
She's like holding a skinned fox or something.
Yes.
Getting a lot of... Well, you know, PETA always... When they make a point,
they make a point.
They go pretty far.
Yes.
They make a point. So we'll be talking to Persia White in just a couple of minutes. 1-866-405-8405. We're going to get everyone qualified today that calls in and asks a question for the Animal Radio Network No Name Giveaway.
Great.
And that, of course, includes the studio's condo. Well, it's not the actual one that's in the studio. The condo,
no, we were
the house.
That one. Yeah.
The cat tree. You'll get a brand new one.
Yes, you'll get your own.
And also a Bissell deep cleaner
vacuum. Spot lifter, yes.
So we'll go to Persia White. I believe we're going to get her on the phone in just a couple of minutes right here on Animal Radio. Stick around.
If you're a diabetic, iCare Medical makes getting your testing supplies as easy as 1, 2, 3. First, there are no upfront costs. Second, we file all your claim forms. And third, you'll never wait for reimbursement. How easy is that? Plus, we carry all the major testing supplies, and you never have to leave your home to get them. We deliver them right to your door. No more going out in bad weather. No more waiting in line at the drugstore. We do all the paperwork, and we will deliver right to your door. iCare Medical is a participating Medicare provider. We accept most private insurances. Call this number.
800-365-6303. 800-365-6303. Have your diabetic testing supplies delivered to your home right now. 800-365-6303. 800-365-6303.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
What's more delectable than caviar, more indulgent than curling up on cashmere, and more satisfying than purring the day away? New Fancy Feast Gourmet Gold Dry Cat Food. At last, a dry cat food good enough to be called Fancy Feast. Your cat will be in absolute bliss. Visit FancyFeast.com to find out how you can receive a free sample of new Fancy Feast Gourmet Gold.
Congratulations, you've decided to make a dog a part of your life. If you chose to do so because you saw it at the pet store and fell in love, or you wanted to get it for your kids so they'd learn some responsibility, then you've just made a tragic mistake. Go directly to your local bookstore and read The Good, the Bad, and the Furry. It lays out the nitty-gritty details, the good, the bad, and the furry, pertaining to more than 100 different varieties of canines. Do you love to garden? Well, so does the Bernese Mountain Dog. But be careful. If you consider this breed, you should expect a backyard full of holes. And if you truly love the Basset Hound, then don't be surprised by the drool stringers flung on your furniture, walls, and ceilings. In The Good, the Bad, and the Furry, author Sam Stahl has consulted with dozens of breed rescue groups to learn the best and worst traits of the world's most popular dog breeds, so you can decide which is the right breed for you. The Good, the Bad, and the Furry is illustrated and available warts and all wherever books are sold.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
Welcome back to Animal Radio on Animal Radio Network. On the phone with us, Persia White, co-star of the top-rated UPN sitcom Girlfriends, also a vegetarian for more than 10 years. She joins us today. Hi, Persia. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Is that your real name?
That is actually my real name.
I see that on your birth certificate.
You could see it. And you know, it's funny because it was just torture when I was a kid. I mean, it was brutal. And my mom would always go, well, it'll be good when you're older. And I was like, I swore I was going to change my name to Lisa when I grew up. I was like, I do not like the controversy because little kids are cruel.
Yes. So. But now how do you like it as an adult?
As an adult, it's great, especially in Hollywood, you know, I mean.
It fits.
I never thought it would be. I thought she was lying. I was like, yeah.
Well, it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy, the name that came before the career that follows with it.
Well, actually, when I was 3 is when I decided I wanted to be in entertainment. So she would say, you know, if you're going to do this, then your name is good.
You've got to have the name.
I was already into it, but I still didn't buy it. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of things going on in your life, a lot of acting stuff, but there's also a little bit of farm sanctuary stuff going on, isn't there?
Yeah, more than a little bit. I mean, they're definitely just a wonderful group, and I'm so happy to be a part of that group. I've been promoting them, actually, in various interviews I've been doing and, you know, speaking at things that don't relate to that subject, but a lot of people ask, well, what are you interested in? What are you doing? And
good for you.
Yeah, I love them.
Tell us a little bit, and the listeners that don't know anything about it, what is Farm Sanctuary?
Farm Sanctuary is an animal rights group that, unlike most organizations, they actually work to change laws within factory farms and make farm animal conditions better, improve the actual safety of how the meat and product, the meat and right now the meat and dairy industry, a lot of people aren't aware of what's going on. I wasn't really aware. And they actually go in, they find out exactly how things are being done, the hormones, the pesticides, the steroids that are being used, or the conditions that these animals are living in, and they try and make these conditions better and actually have criminal penalties for people that violate, have extreme acts of inhumanity towards animals. Farmers are actually going to have to look out a little more because they work in the legal system.
Mm-hmm. You said you didn't know about it. How did you find out about it?
Actually, my mother found out. She watched the movie Peaceable Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen that movie, it's amazing. It's just a wonderful movie in which they focus in on the work of Farm Sanctuary, Gene and Lori Bouston, and they take you into their lives and they show you what they're doing. And then I went up to one of the farms. They have two, one in New York and one in California, and you can visit these animals. You can see the work they're doing. They rescue. They have on their farm a lot of rescued factory farm animals, ones that it's actually legal to leave dying animals. That there's tons of these animals that are just left to slowly die and dead piles. And they'll take animals in that people don't want or they're going to put to sleep that are, you know, perfectly healthy, fine animals. So you meet these animals, and it's just amazing. I never pet a cow. I never saw farm animals in a happy environment where, you know, they're social.
Well, I got to ask you, did you become a vegetarian before or after petting that cow?
Actually, I've been a vegetarian since I was 12, and I became a vegan 5 years ago.
Oh, really? Okay, so let's go back to when you were 12. How did that happen? Because that's a very unusual age to decide that you're not going to eat meat anymore.
Well, you know, if I had had Farm Sanctuary around, that would have been fantastic. It actually was one of those things that when I was 8, when you're coming into the world of reality, and I didn't realize, you don't see animals being killed. You just eat. You're eating a sandwich. You're not really thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And in the food store, I just noticed there was blood in the package of some chicken. I was like, Mom, what's that? That looks like blood. She was like, it is blood. I was like, why is there blood in the food? What are you talking about? And, you know, she explained to me that these animals are killed. I just couldn't get past it. I tried to block it out, and driving across the country, you drive past a lot of farm animals. You see cows that are grazing that have little tags on their ear, and mm-hmm. I think the first time I actually saw a cow up close, we just stopped on the side of the road to look at it. I'd never seen a cow. It was probably when I was about 10, and I don't know. I've always had dogs and animals in the house, and I realized they're not any different. And once my mind really made the connection, because I'd wanted to stop when I was younger, but 12, I finally had the strength and the willpower to just go against what everybody told me, which is that you're going to die, you're not going to be healthy, you're an athlete, you're not going to have enough protein, you hear all these rumors.
I bet you're pretty healthy now, huh?
I'm so healthy. I never get sick. I've never been in the hospital for anything. I don't injure myself. I mean, it's fantastic how it's helped me.
Now, what made you become a vegan, which is different? And again, please explain and clarify for our listeners.
Oh, okay. Well, vegan is when you don't. To me, vegan is a lifestyle of as much compassion as you can possibly put forward at every moment. So that would, you know, whatever you can do. Obviously, the most basic fundamentals is not consuming any dairy, any animal product, anything from eggs, cheese, milk, honey. I don't consume any animal products. But then some vegans also take it to another level where they don't wear animal products. I don't wear leather or wool. And then in my home, I don't have products that are tested on animals. I don't wear makeup that's tested on animals. And it's not really as complicated as a lot of people think. It just takes a little bit of research, looking at some labels. And that was the progression of 5 years ago becoming vegan was kind of the last moving forward.
Do you mind me asking approximately, basically around somewhere about your age? Like, you know, just a bracket of maybe 4 or 5.
You can lie.
Late 20s.
Okay, because I think that's phenomenal that you're so enlightened and educated about this. And I wish so many more people were. And I'm glad that you're taking your celebrity status to to another level. I see a picture here. Someone brought in a picture before this interview of you holding a skinned, it looks like a fox.
It's a fox, yeah. That was a campaign I did for PETA that I'm holding a skinned fox, and it says, here's the rest of your fur coat. And I'm wearing this evening gown, looking all elegant, and we did that on purpose to sort of show the juxtapose of it.
What kind of reaction are you getting from that ad?
I've gotten great reaction. I know that a lot of people aren't necessarily vegetarian, and they aren't necessarily vegan, because that's taking it to a whole other level. Mm-hmm. But they don't know the situation with fur-farmed animals, which is one of the worst of all, because there's no laws to protect these animals, and they suffer incredible deaths. I mean, they're suffocated, anal electrocution, and it takes about 20 of these little foxes to make one coat. And most people want fashion, even in the hip-hop industry and in my world of entertainment. I deal a lot with the hip-hop and urban community, and they just want to look good. I mean, they just want to have fun. They don't want to torture small animals. That's nobody's goal. But they don't see it happening. And they think of it as a symbol of glamour and status.
It's about education, just like you didn't know about it until someone told you about it. Your food does have eyes, and it does smile sometimes,
right.
And you don't want it to necessarily do that.
Right.
That there are animals being euthanized in the shelters, a lot of people don't even know that.
A lot of people don't, and that's why, you know, groups like Farm Sanctuary are so important, because that's one of their main goals, is to educate people. Once you show people, they can then make their own choice, and a good majority will at least change in some shape or form. They won't go blindly into the world just because the corporations who make the money off of this brutality, they don't need to take it to the level that they've taken it to, even with factory farm animals. When we say, oh, we're just trying to make the conditions better, like we get rid of veal crates or gestation crates. When we were recently in Boston, we were talking about that to the Senate, and it was really interesting because a lot of people there didn't know that a veal calf is chained in a little crate where he can't even turn around. And these are simple, basic needs that any living creature should have the right to have some water, some fresh air, and turn around. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're even saying don't kill him, which in a perfect world, we'd rather you didn't kill him and eat him, but if you're going to, don't be just vicious. And it's for dollars and cents. It comes down to factories who want to make the biggest profit for the smallest amount of output of money. They have one person who sort of minor look, they'll sort of guide over some of these industries, like where chickens are kept in these coops where there's thousands of them packed together, and somebody comes in every now and then and checks on them, but there's no monitoring system. There's disease, there's this infestation, and this actually precipitates into the public because it goes into your body, into your health. Even if you're not a humanitarian and you don't care, you don't want that going on. And a lot of these things that we fight for are already legal in many other countries. I didn't know that things like foie gras, for instance, which we finally got banned in the state of California. And if a lot of people don't know foie gras is, it means fatty liver.
Okay, yes, okay.
You know about that, where they take a metal pipe and they force it down a bird's throat, and they force feed him several times a day till his liver expands 10 times its normal size and sometimes explodes. Mm. They suffocate on their vomit. I mean, these are things that I know people who eat meat would go, if they saw that, they would be so appalled. They would never eat that. It's just, it's done in dark, closed environments, and very few people are bold enough to go in there and confront these multi-million-dollar industries and say, we're going to show the public what you're doing, because they have the right to know. They have the right to know what's on their plate and to know where it came from. And it's very dark. It's not the system that it used to be 100 years ago, which, you know, animals are running around on farms happy, and then, okay, well, this is the day where you die. It's kind of sad, but this is brutal mass production, and the animals are treated like units. They don't even call them, chickens. They call them units. You know, they have all these different broilers. They have different terms they use. They're units of production. They're not a living creature, which obviously they're living creatures. And, you know, most Americans, I know, we have one of the most kind countries in the world where we want to meet. My average American friend doesn't slaughter their own meat, and they don't want things to suffer unnecessarily. And we have these utopic views of that, you know, our animals are, the food is coming from some type of rationally sane production. You don't picture this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde phenomena going on where they're pumping it up with you know, products, and you hear little tidbits of news sometimes, but you don't realize it's gotten to a point in the last, right now, we produce over 10 billion animals a year for slaughter, and over 70% of the grain in this country is used for animals that are for slaughter. It's like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. You know, it's gotten to a level that if nobody puts these companies in check and exposes and educates the public, it will just keep getting to a worse and worse phenomena where they'll actually have to make changes because of things like mad cow. And then our oceans, environmentalists don't realize that the number one polluter of oceans is pig feces from slaughterhouses. It's the number one pollutant for oceans.
Wow.
And if you're an environmentalist, you can't overlook the fact that these slaughterhouses are destroying our planet at a rapid rate. It's like it's because the laws have gotten less and less strict because less people want to go in and know. They don't want to go look. So when you create an industry where no one wants to go look and see that because it's so horrific, then they can get away with more and more, you know, more and more harm.
The very outspoken... Very outspoken. Here's a light from Girlfriends joining
us.
Just
let me go
today.
And go. I'm like, I was talking to some kids about theater, and they were like, so what is it? And I was like, you know what? You've got to. And they were asking me about being an actor. I was like, as an artist, it's all about feeling. And if you block things out, and I brought this into it. I brought up the food and the industry, the slaughter. And they're looking at me, and they're interested. And I was like, you do know what's going on, and I know that you are good people. You're kids. You're beautiful. But as you grow up, you start to block more and more things out that you know are wrong. And that hurts you as an artist. It hurts you as a person, you know, because you know in your heart the right thing, but you just don't want to confront it.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
We confront it. We can make changes. Even little ones are huge because each, you know, each little step is a major leap for mankind.
And it's great to have spokespeople like you forefronting these campaigns and important messages.
Wow,
so we appreciate
you.
That.
Thank you.
Is
and
there
thank
a website?
You for having the show. I love it.
Oh, well, good. Is there a website we need to know about?
A website for Farm Sanctuary?
Yes.
Oh, yes. You can go to farmsanctuary.org. And they have, like, vegetarian starter kits. They have information on all of these different, all the different issues that are going on right now, the campaigns that are going on. Sometimes you can just make a phone call, and it'll help, or write a letter, and it'll help. It means so much. So much to Farm Sanctuary. Just every person.
Persia, thanks for taking time out of your day to visit with us.
Oh, thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Hold on a second. There's more Animal Radio on the way. Stick around, you lucky devil.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
I'm talking about my dog Chance and what a great product Comfort Zone has been. He had a lot of severe anxiety, separation problems. He redecorated my house several times for me when I had left him alone. Through a friend who gave me as a gift Comfort Zone, I started using it about 9 months ago. At one point, I ran out of it for a month, and I saw a definite change in his personality right away. He's a small terrier type dog, and he has a high energy level. Without it, he just is out of control. He can't seem to control himself. I work nights, and I had hoped that I would be able to leave Chance by himself. Before I got Comfort Zone, that was totally impossible. He had even jumped through one of the windows in my home and came down to where I work. After using Comfort Zone, I'm able to leave him in the evenings. He's a very much calmer dog. Even in the daytime, he's more relaxed. It's a godsend. I don't know what we would do without it. I think it's a great product, and it's really changed our lives. Comfort Zone is a godsend for us.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get two furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
Every once in a while, there comes along a special group of animal lovers that stands strongly in defense of the voiceless. Animal People is that newspaper for people who really care about the animals. Animal People's published 10 times yearly. The publisher is a nonprofit corporation dedicated to exposing the existence of cruelty to animals and to informing and educating you so that animal lovers worldwide can eliminate such cruelty. Your subscription is $24 a year. Get Animal People's fair and accurate investigative reporting from the industry watchdog. Visit our website at www.animalpeoplenews.org. That's www.animalpeoplenews.org to subscribe to the news for people who care about animals. Animal People. Subscribe today at www.animalpeoplenews.org.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
Hi, this is Darlene Arden for Animal Radio Network, and I'm sitting in a coffee shop with the Emma Parsons. Why do I say the Emma Parsons? This is the woman who knows more about aggressive dog behavior and how to help your dog become a better companion if he or she is showing any signs of aggression. And you know how she does it? She does it with very positive training. Because aggression only begets aggression. So let's talk to Emma and let's find out where this all came from. And she's even going to tell us about her fabulous new book, Click to Calm. Hi, Emma. Welcome to Animal Radio Network.
Thank you, Darlene.
How did this start for you?
It started when I had a golden retriever several years ago who had an aggression problem with other dogs. I took him to a trainer in our area who hung him severely on a prong collar, made the behavior much, much worse than it ever was. And it was only by literally traveling the United States, going to seminars, conferences, etc., that I came across clicker training and teaching him how to deal with and how to modify some of that very, very problematic behavior.
Now, this is nothing that can be done instantly. Once the problems become exacerbated, as it did with Ben after that aversive trainer hung him, oh, what a horrible mental image that creates. That would take a little bit longer, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I knew originally that punishment might be used when I went to that trainer way back then. However, I really didn't understand how horribly it would be used, how aversive it would be, and certainly didn't know the effect that it would have on Ben. Yes, absolutely. It is a modification program. It does take time, sometimes lots of time, to make the dog exhibit more acceptable behavior, certainly, but you almost see an immediate improvement. What I do is work with clients who have dogs with these specific problems, and I just want to make mention of one thing is, you know, reactive dogs aren't necessarily biting dogs, and biting dogs aren't necessarily reactive dogs. So when we talk the aggressive dog, we're talking about a very, very big population of dogs, and it can be only like 1% of the dog's personality, or it can be, you know, much more than that. And there are very specific problems sometimes, as opposed to dogs who, you know, quote unquote, explode all the time. But absolutely, what I do is I sit with the client. We talk about a couple things. One is what the owner-dog relationship is, how we repair that first, because the owner does have to be the leader of the dog. The dog has to learn to trust the owner. So this is about trust. This is not about intimidation and threat. And also we accomplish that by good management as well as teaching the owner some really good clicker training skills.
This is fabulous. Now, clicker training does not take very long to learn, and it doesn't take very long for the dog to catch on to it. Skills get polished along the way. But tell people just briefly how you charge the clicker or load the clicker and how long it takes before you start to see some behaviors changing. And we can start with puppies with clicker training or dogs of any age.
Yeah, using the clicker itself is, just for people who don't know, it's like a little box clicker, and it's somewhat similar to maybe some that we might have clicked way back when for fun, like the little toys. But what it does is it makes one click sound. The strength of that is when you take that sound and you back it with a reinforcer, something like food, toys, games, praise, petting, whatever it is that your dog likes to work for. And that is where the strength of it comes in. When I work with people and their dogs, it does not take very long at all to be able to get the dog to respond to that, because I click once, I give the dog a really tasty treat, and immediately I become their friend most times. Every once in a while, we have a dog that is afraid of that click noise. Now, though, I believe you can get clickers with volume control, so you certainly can deal with that way. But once the dog understands that, this is what I get every time I hear this sound. The dog knows exactly what it's doing right at that exact moment in time. And that is why the dog is so happy then to get the reinforcer. And again, very different from luring. If I show the dog a treat and then I get behavior, that is not the same as getting behavior, marking it with either a verbal marker, which can be used. It's just that I know with the clicker, the learning happens a lot faster. But I give the verbal marker or the acoustic marker, which in this point is the clicker, and then I back that with a reinforcer. And that really is the true formula for learning.
This is really wonderful for people to get a really good mental image of what this is about, because it does happen really fast. The clicker is an event marker, and for people who are worried about a loud clicker, if they can't find one that they can control the volume on, they could use the top of a baby food jar, a barrette, a ballpoint pen if you can still find one. It's just an event marker that's a consistent sound, because our own voices are not that consistent. And then it becomes a matter of timing to time that click, doesn't it? Just so that you get the behavior you want. But you can't make a mistake. You're not going to injure the dog the way you would if you were hanging it on a prong or a choke collar. Tell me a bit about how Ben's behavior changed when that happened to him.
Well, originally, after the punishment that he had, you know, it wasn't even just about the dogs. I mean, not only was he explosive when he was around other dogs, and I also should mention he started attacking dogs at home as well as attacking my TV, because if he saw any dog on TV, that would send him also into a rage. But what ended up happening is I started using the clicker to more shape his emotion, the way he felt around other dogs. And you know, for example, the first criteria that I worked with him was to be able to go into environment, and I would click and treat him simply for being in the environment with the other dogs. And it didn't matter if he was sitting, standing, or lying down. It didn't matter. Whatever he did, if he looked at another dog, he got clicked and fed. If he heard another dog, he got clicked and fed. So we really kind of sweetened up that view that he had of other dogs. Because I really think that in his mind, when he was in an environment with other dogs, I really think that he thought he was going to be killed, because it was such a traumatic experience for him. The other thing that happened too, which can be a result of punishment, not only now was it about dogs, you know, my dog who was so confident riding in the car, walking down the street, was now afraid to get in the car. He was afraid to, you know, we'd be walking down the street and he would hear some, you know, trash bag blowing in the wind, and that would be enough to send him into a tirade. So there were other things now that scared him as well. So now not only were we dealing with dogs and that whole world, but also in the broader sense, the whole world became a very scary place for him. So it was by doing this clicker training step by step, raising the criteria a little bit at a time in very, very short sessions. And when I say short, I mean like sometimes we would expose him for 5 seconds at a time, literally. But it was only by doing that I did start to see an improvement in his behavior.
Wonderful. Now, I've met Ben, and he is quite the wonderful fellow. Tell me about your book, Click to Calm. Everyone needs to get a copy of this book, whether their dog is dog aggressive or not. I mean, this is just an amazing book that can become a prevention program.
Definitely. Definitely. I have gotten a lot of response from people who don't have dogs that have aggression issues. They just want to raise their puppies right, or maybe it's an adolescent dog who just needs some manners. But what I tried to do in the book is give everyone not only the program that I worked through with Ben, and I have to say since Ben, which was, about 10 years ago, I've been seeing clients and their dogs with aggression issues. And just through the years, I've kept notes and of their journeys as well. And so I tried to put everything into the book that I had learned, not only from Ben, but also from my students. So, you know, one piece of the book is management, how to teach your dog that you are the leader, how to teach your dog to trust you, which is a very, very big, important part of this whole training program. And the second part is, you know, what am I going to teach my dog? Talks about clicker training, what it is, how to use it, as well as a list of foundation behaviors that every dog should know, even things like heeling, walking on a loose leash, sit stays, down stays, just basic obedience cues that you would get from a regular class, but also such things as teaching dogs how to move away when a human goes near them, especially over a threshold if you have a dog that's sensitive with people, as well as how to do sit stays from behind you, because again, in a routine obedience class, you might tell the dog to stay, get out in front and do it that way. But again, if you have a dog with a problem, you want to be the one always taking care of that dog. So that dog has to allow you to do that for them by sitting and staying behind you. So there's a bunch of foundation behaviors like that, as well as how to shape emotion with a clicker, as well as how to continue moving on. So now, you know, you have a dog that can actually be with other dogs. And your next step then would be what we call parallel walking, which is dog handler moving in the same direction. So now we can go to the park and we can look normal and enjoy some time with friends. And again, book teaches you how to notice the behavior, click and feed it, and how to adjust your criteria accordingly in that journey.
Emma Parsons, thank you so very much for joining us on Animal Radio Network. And thanks for writing such a great book.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
1-866-405-8405 is the number if you want to call in here and find out how you can pick up an envelope, a postage paid envelope, that we'll send it to you. You put your spent inkjet cartridges or laser cartridges in it. Send it back to us, and then we'll get you qualified for the no-name giveaway.
Wow.
Which, of course, includes a Bissell vacuum, a deep cleaner, one of those high-end vacuums. I'll never have one of those.
And they can also get a little gift for themselves, for their dog or their cat.
Also, don't forget, the no-name giveaway includes a Steps for Pets cat condo.
Wow.
You can get the address and all the information on the website. 1-866-405-8405 is the number for us to send one of those postage-paid envelopes out. And then, like we just said, the Steps for Pets condo, we actually have one of those in the studio. You can see it on the webcam.
Yes. There's always someone on it.
Sometimes even me. There's more Animal Radio on the way. Stick around.
Hi, this is Hal.
And Judy.
From Animal Radio and Animal Radio Network. We just got one of these brand new Steps for Pets.
Kitty condos.
And it's not just a condo. Let me tell you, it's
like
a mansion.
It's a city. It's like a city.
It's a universe.
It's big. There's lots of cubby holes and lots of perches. All our cats can be on it at one time.
And it keeps them off the equipment and off my seat and off my lap. And
no more pushing those buttons on your equipment and no more pushing your button.
Because they're all on the cat tree. You want to check it out? It's a huge cat tree. Head on over to AnimalRadio.com and look at the webcam. You can see who's on the cat tree right now.
I'll try to keep Hal off it so you can see better.
StepsForPets.com is where we got it. And it is so cool. At first, we were a little skeptical because it was $169 for this.
What, is it made of cardboard?
No, in fact, it's actually stronger than many of the cat trees that I have seen.
It's very sturdy. It's got this real pretty faux fur. I can see why the cats want to lay on it.
StepsForPets.com. Take it from Hal.
And Judy.
StepsForPets.com. Log on now and find out more.
Meow.
You say you're thinking about cloning? You also say that you're an animal lover. Well, you can't be both. Do you know that many multiple animals have to be killed to make one clone? So, if you truly are an animal lover, you'll give a homeless animal a home. Visit www.nopetcloning.org to learn more.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
Hi, Blake Whittison. Hal Abrams.
How are you doing?
Very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
What city are you in?
We're here in Anaheim, California.
Okay. We get lots of different products here. In fact, all the time we get boxes. UPS actually has a lunch break room here at the Animal Radio Studios because they're always dropping off samples of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But there's, some stuff's good. There's always new stuff. This is one of those stuff. This is one of those stuff. This is the stuff. It's called Get Serious. Extractor. And I'll tell you why. We've actually used it. And I'm going to actually hand the microphone over to Judy. You actually used this as soon as we got this in to test it.
To test it, yes. I requested this product because we have, as everyone knows, we have our studio cats.
Yes.
And, you know, there's lots of hairballs and lots of, you know, the little vomits all over the floor. And every cleaner I've used doesn't take out that orangey, yellowish stain that the vomit leaves behind.
Okay, it's early morning here, and some of us are trying to eat breakfast. Let's.
Okay, I'll skip over that part. Well, anyway, I got this product in, and I just happened to have a new, fresh stain.
That you wanted to try it
That
on.
I wanted to try it. I'd used a carpet cleaner on it the night before, and it left the usual yellow. Well, I got this in the next day. Okay, it's 24 hours later. It took it out. And it took out. I literally ran around the studio with this product, testing it on all different types of stains, old stains, new stains. And everyone knows we're in Utah, which is like the red state, red dirt capital.
Yes.
And we have red dirt.
The animals will bring it in.
All over the place. And it took it out. Took it out of the carpet. I was tempted because some of the cats have white paws. I was tempted to try it on some of their little red feet, but I didn't dare.
What's up, Blake? What's happening here?
You know, a lot of great things. And, you know, as someone that uses the product myself, I'm also always amazed at how well it works because it really, truly is an amazing product. I've used it many times in my house also on pet stains and so forth. And it just does that. It takes the stains right out, whether it be an old stain or a new stain. It's very effective. Enzymatic cleaners are one of the leading cleaners on the market because they're so popular, and for two reasons. One is because they're so abundant in the marketplace that a lot of people think they're the best. Two is because many people don't even know that there's an option besides enzymatic. But there is, and you know, Get Serious doesn't really rely on enzymes to do the work, so it's able to clean much faster and much more effectively. And take the stain or the odor, whatever it is, right out of the carpet or upholstery. It's actually a lifter. You know, it goes down deep, grabs onto the problem, and just lifts it out for you.
In order to get rid of the odor so that the animal doesn't come back and remark, don't you have to have an enzyme?
No, absolutely not. And what actually tracks the pet back, what brings them back to the area, is actually their pheromone. That's what they can smell that we can't.
Uh-huh.
Because obviously their senses are much more inept and stronger than ours are. And a pheromone is something that actually has to be taken out. It can't be covered up. It can't be neutralized. It can't be broken down, which is usually what enzymatics do. It has to be taken out. And Get Serious is the only one that can do that because it's a lifter, and because it takes it out of the carpet or whatever it may be, it's gone. So there's nothing left to bring the pet back or track them back to that area to remark over and over.
Now, it's kind of strong. Is it safe?
It is. You know, it's the safest one on the market, in fact. It's, you know, great. Lots of vets recommend the product and actually carry it in their offices because it's so safe to use around pets, children. And because it works so effectively, it takes out stains and odors and pheromones in only 3 minutes. So there's no lingering wetness. There's no big mess left in your carpets that could cause mold or allergies and stuff of that sort. So it's definitely safe, biodegradable, and non-toxic.
What does something like this cost?
You know, the price is really competitive with the other products on the market. The one thing to remember is that with Get Serious, you don't have to soak or saturate the area like you do with enzymatic-type cleaners. So you actually use much less. In fact, one bottle is about the same as buying two bottles of the other. So you're getting two for the price of one, in fact.
How does it work? I understand that microwaving it reduces its effectiveness.
Absolutely not. In fact, microwaving it actually increases or enhances its effectiveness at removing stains. It's somewhat comparable to water. When you warm water, it's more effective at cleaning and breaking down things. Well, same thing, when you warm Get Serious in the microwave, it's more effective. It actually enhances its stain removing power so it can break through that locked on stain.
Oh, wow.
And take it out.
Is there anything that this product won't remove?
You know, there's a lot of things that it does. You know, just to name a few of the pet related, urine, vomit, feces, diarrhea are some of the really tough things, but it also removes things that aren't pet related, such as ink and juice, blood, dirt, and even red dirt.
What about predators?
Especially for your area there.
Yes.
Grease, scum, and so forth. So it's a wonderful product.
The scum might cover that. The scum, creditors, lawyers, ex-girlfriends.
That's right.
And such. Okay, let's give away. Do we have something to give away?
We have lots to give away.
You didn't
away.
Use it all, did you?
Well, no, I'm saving a few for myself, okay. Let me tell you, though.
1-866-405-8405. How do we get Serious?
You know, the easiest place is at PetSmart nationwide. It's in all the PetSmart stores. And in various mail-order catalogs and smaller stores nationwide.
Any kind of website?
www.getseriousproducts.com if you want to learn more about the product. Or if you're looking to purchase online, you can go to www.petsmart.com.
There you go, Blake. Thanks so much for joining us today.
No problem, and I appreciate the time and everything, and letting me come on the radio with you and tell everyone about the product.
By all means, what do you do for the company there? Are you the founder, the creator, the big cheese?
Unfortunately, I'm not up to that level. There is the owner. I do most of the advertising and marketing here at the company, and obviously work side by side with the owner at helping people find out about the product and all the wonderful things that it does.
Well, you do a fine job doing that. Okay, before we get out of here today, I want to thank Comfort Zone. Comfort Zone is an innovative natural species specific solution for cat and dog behavior problems. Thank you, Comfort Zone. Also, Frontline. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks with Frontline Plus. Also, Fancy Feast, gourmet gold dry cat food. With its tantalizing aroma, enhancing shapes, and heavenly taste, it's simply the best tasting dry food, cat food, versus leading brands. It's good stuff.
Yes.
I actually have a little bit that I'm going to try on the cats later.
Oh,
later
good. I thought afternoon. You were going to say yourself.
No, I wouldn't do that. If you get an animal this week, remember to
spay or neuter.
One or the other. Your doctor will tell you which one to do. And if you're looking for a specific breed, there is absolutely no need to pay or go to a breeder.
No, go to the internet. There are specific breed rescues out there with any kind of animal you're looking for that is out there and needs a home.
It's such a better way to do things because there's so many animals that are being put to sleep every year because they simply don't have a home. Have yourself a great week. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
1-866-405-8405. Hi, who's this?
This is Gloria.
Hi, Gloria. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Missouri.
You won't let me get a word in edgewise today.
I'm going to turn the show into the Judy show.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, Gloria from Missouri.
Hi.
Yes.
You have a question?
I do.
Okay.
It's starting to get warm out,
yes.
And we are turning our ceiling fans on.
Uh-huh.
And every time we turn it on, the cat gets freaked out and runs out of the room.
Aw.
Scared of the ceiling fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's... A ceiling fan is like this big looming creature up at the ceiling when a cat looks up and sees this thing, and it really frightens them. And I can understand why they're afraid of it. But there's some things you can do.
Okay.
What you need to do is to turn on the fan, turn it on really low so it's not going, you know, real fast, and get his attention in a room just next door. Get a toy, play with him, something he can, you know, like a stick or feathers or anything he can play with, or even give him treats, and then slowly back up into the room. And what you're going to do is divert his attention. He's not even going to realize that he's in that room. You can put down a trail of treats or just kind of slowly bring the toy into the room, and, you know, he might look up, but just do whatever you can to divert his attention to it.
Whether so he doesn't notice that it's already on.
Yeah, and then he doesn't notice that he's in the room with it, but don't turn it on real fast at first because that'll, you know, freak him again and he'll run. But you just you got to get him in there without him knowing that it's on, and make sure it's on ahead of time and just slowly, you know, let him come to the room.
You're a good mom. You're a good mom. I would be scaring the cat.
Oh, he would do it on purpose. Yeah, he'd wait till the cat was asleep and then he'd turn the fan on. Yeah, I'm glad the studio cats aren't afraid of ours. So
thanks,
Gloria. Okay, well, that's a great idea.
Okay, well, try it and let us know how it works.
Okay, thanks.
1-866-405-8405.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Well, certainly no stranger to Animal Radio and Animal Radio Network, Dr. Marty Becker. How are you doing, big guy?
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's probably getting very pretty this time of year up there in Idaho.
Well, I'm up here at North, our Almost Heaven Ranch in North Idaho. We're up here where Montana and Washington got us in a vise. It's only 30 miles wide up here in the Panhandle, and we're 7 miles from Canada, up deep in the mountains, so it's very pretty.
Wow.
You got that spring setting in there too, huh?
Well, we got the mountain bluebird, which is a state bird of Idaho. It's kind of a neon blue that's incredible, and the wild turkeys are out doing that who's your daddy strut, you know, and fan their feathers out, and the chipmunks are bounding all over the rocks. It's certainly everything's come alive up here, which I love that time of year when, you know, nature catches its breath and everything starts to bloom.
You live in just such a very beautiful part of our country, of course. You've hooked up with Hills, I see, to talk about their new JD food. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. You know, being on Good Morning America for the last 7 years and being a Knight Ridder columnist and writing for various magazines, you know, you get a lot of information from people, a lot of comments, and one of the things that's happened, and I'm going to kind of answer this indirectly, There was a lady emailed me a few weeks ago and said her dog was limping, and she thought it must have stepped on something and sent me a picture along with the email. And I looked at the picture, and I kind of tongue-in-cheek answered her back, and I said, I think your dog stepped on the scales. That's what happened.
looked a little heavy to you.
A little, more than a little heavy. And I talked to her quite a bit via email about the fact that one out of two pets is overweight in the United States.
Wow.
And the same things that happens in people happens in pets. We get an increased risk of diabetes, increased risk of heart disease, liver disease, increased risk of cancer, and, of course, joint disease. And these joints just aren't made to handle that kind of stress. And so this new program that's out of through your veterinarians called JUMP, and it stands for Joint Management Plan. And the Joint Management Plan, rather than just, okay, there's this pill or there's this food, it's actually a three-part plan. One is nutrition. The second is exercise, and the third part is weight management. And those three things taken together. So the JD is this new food that was a decade in development that has a patent pending, which there's four clinical studies on this food, and it's shown that it does several things. One, it has an omega-3 fatty acid in it that helps stop the damage of the canine joint. It has glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate, which are those building blocks of a healthy joint. And it has a vitamin-like substance, L-carnitine, which helps maintain a healthy weight. So there's that food. And then exercise, no matter how big, how old, or anything, it's so important to exercise to keep the muscle toned and help maintain healthy joints and also to keep the weight off. And also on exercise, before we go on to weight management, the other critical thing about exercise, and I know you guys talk about this a lot on your show, it not only helps keep the body toned, and it helps keep help maintain an ideal weight, but it also melts away the behavioral problems. And we always say that a tired dog is a happy dog, and when you get them exercising, they get out, they get to see the world, they get to stretch their legs, they get to panting a little bit.
Well, now, don't they say that if your dog is probably overweight, that maybe you might be overweight, and that both of you need to get out.
Oh boy!
One might be the sign of somebody else's problem.
Oh boy! Now you know what? It's funny you mentioned that, Hal, because I was actually back at one Surgeon General ago when David Satcher was a Surgeon General, and I was actually with a team of people in his offices, and we were talking about that fact that veterinarians have frequent friendly contact with people, and it was thought that veterinarians should be ones that are approaching issues of obesity with humans and other health issues. And a lot of times veterinarians are loath to mention that the pet is overweight or obese because the person is overweight or obese.
Well, my vet was overweight.
Now, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Do you find that you ever have very defensive patients that, my dog's not overweight?
Well, here's and this is the truth. I always believe in transparency. People, I can't hardly tell you if it ever happened where somebody comes in and says, you know what, I just shovel the food in this dog until it's just ready to blow up. Most of them say, I just give it a little handful. And the fact is we don't do enough portion control, and there's too many snacks. And it's a good thing to give your pet snacks. Everybody gives their pet snacks. It's just it needs to be limited, and you need to look at more healthful snacks like whole baby carrots or frozen green beans or something versus the calorie-laden snacks. And I will tell you, this is the gospel truth up here at Almost Heaven Ranch. All of our dogs, all of our cats, all of our horses are on the thin side. And what I mean by that, you're not going to come up and go, oh, my God, they're starving these dogs to death or these cats to death. But you can feel their ribs. When you look at them from the side, they have a tucked abdomen like a wasp. When you look at them from down below, they actually have an hourglass shape.
They're healthy.
They're going to live, according to the studies out there, they're going to live 15% longer.
Okay. So the joint management plan, the JUMP plan, includes nutrition, exercise,
and weight management.
Weight management.
And one of the things I want to tell you, too, we have a golden retriever named Shakira, and if you got a dog that is overweight or obese or has joint problems, you got to get rid of the explosive kind of tennis ball exercises. Like, if I did opened her skull up and looked inside there, there's like two neurons connected to a tennis ball. And that kind of explosive running, that jumping is not good on the joints. And you want to have slow walks. Swimming is ideal for the breeds that like to swim. And then the weight management is just coming up with an ideal weight and feeding the right food in the right amount with the right amount of exercise.
Well, basically, it's like humans. If you're overweight, you don't go into a very rigorous exercise routine. You have to start slowly and build up.
Yeah, and you know one thing I ought to tell you a little, you'll be the first time I've ever mentioned this, but I'm actually working on a book with Robert Kushner from Northwestern University. He wrote the American Medical Association's Physician's Guide to Obesity. But we're doing a book called Fitness Unleashed, and it's Lose Weight, Gain Health, and Feel Alive with Your Dog.
Mm.
And it's based on four university studies. It's looking at weight loss, joint health, heart health, and depression. And it'll be out next May, about a year from now.
Well, you stay busy.
I stay busy.
That's for sure. And this... you have a website for this particular program.
Yeah, I go to jumpfordogs.com.
Okay, jumpfordogs.com.
And again, it's no magic bullet, but it is. I'll tell you one thing with this food that I was surprised with. I've had a neighbor and two other people go to my church that started the Pets on the Food, and they were able to go off the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs completely.
Now, is it just for dogs?
It's just for dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm not saying this is going to happen every time either, but it's kind of nice if you have something that's a natural product and you're able to go off of the pain pill, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's pretty enticing.
That's very good. Dr. Becker, thanks so much for taking time to be with us again.
Hey, thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
No problem. We're going to go ahead and give away five samples of this at 1-866-405-8405. It's Hill's JD for the joint... Prescription Diet Canine JD. Boy.
You can do it. Come on.
It's right here. Just the words are all there. You put them in order, okay? 1-866-405-8405. There's more Animal Radio on the way.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Congratulations, you've decided to make a dog a part of your life. If you chose to do so because you saw it at the pet store and fell in love, or you wanted to get it for your kids so they'd learn some responsibility, then you've just made a tragic mistake. Go directly to your local bookstore and read The Good, the Bad, and the Furry. It lays out the nitty-gritty details, the good, the bad, and the furry, pertaining to more than 100 different varieties of canines. Do you love to garden? Well, so does the Bernese Mountain Dog. But be careful. If you consider this breed, you should expect a backyard full of holes. And if you truly love the Basset Hound, then don't be surprised by the drool stringers flung on your furniture, walls, and ceilings. In The Good, the Bad, and the Furry, author Sam Stahl has consulted with dozens of breed rescue groups to learn the best and worst traits of the world's most popular dog breeds, so you can decide which is the right breed for you. The Good, the Bad, and the Furry is illustrated and available warts and all wherever books are sold.
Hi, this is Hal.
And Judy.
From Animal Radio. We just got one of these brand new Steps for Pets.
Kitty condos.
At first, we were a little skeptical because it was $169 for this.
What, is it made of cardboard?
No, in fact, it's actually stronger than many of the cat trees that I have seen.
It's very sturdy. It's got this real pretty faux fur. I can see why the cats want to lay on it.
Yeah, forget the carpet. That's passe. That's old. That's so 90s.
Yes.
We're talking about a cat condo that has faux fur. It's so soft.
So soft.
That's why I want to lay on it.
I can't keep him off.
And then it has that sisal that the cats love to scratch.
Lots of sisal. There's about 7 or 8 different little sisal posts.
And there's 3 toys that come with catnip. It's huge. It's amazing. And free shipping. $169 gets this. Did I tell you that one of the cats is the boss? And he's on top of the cat condo right now. Check it out on the webcam.
Yes, he likes to sit on top and look down upon his little workers.
Get yourself one of these cat trees, okay? Tell them Hal and Judy from Animal Radio sent you. StepsForPets.com. Log on now and find out more.
What's more delectable than caviar, more indulgent than curling up on cashmere, and more satisfying than purring the day away? New Fancy Feast Gourmet Gold Dry Cat Food. At last, a dry cat food good enough to be called Fancy Feast. Your cat will be in absolute bliss. Visit FancyFeast.com to find out how you can receive a free sample of new Fancy Feast Gourmet Gold.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus.
It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and tick.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get two furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness
from all across the globe.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Dr. Jean Hovey, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Calling you in Boulder, Colorado, is that correct?
Yes.
You're a friend of ours, well, a friend of our friend of ours.
Friend of a friend. We have a mutual friend.
Annie Bruce, of course, she
yes,
is.
Yes, Annie. I love Annie.
Oh, yeah. She's a frequent guest on Animal Radio Network. Whenever we need to feel just a little more normal, we get her on the phone.
We love Annie.
Oh, she's wonderful. You have put together a website and a program called Little Big Cat, and I'm still trying to understand it a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it might help to understand the name a little bit.
Okay.
Little Big Cat comes from my favorite movie, Little Big Man. And my partner, Jackson, his approach to cat behavior is that inside every little cat, there's a big cat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like the little dog inside of a little dog with a, you know, Rottweiler inside.
Yes.
I met one of those the other day, as a matter of fact.
We're familiar with those.
Yeah. So, what we do is provide what we call mind-body consulting for cats.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of the health and nutrition aspects, and we combine that with behavior because, you know, if you look at the cat in a holistic fashion, meaning that you look at the whole cat with its health and its personality and its environment and everything, you know, you really have to take all those facets into consideration when you're trying to solve a problem.
Well, yeah, diet has to do with behavior as much as behavior diet. I mean, it's they're intertwined with
each
other.
They're intertwined,
yes.
Exactly. So, you know, we go a little further than the typical behavior type people in that, you know, we explore the whole thing and we try and heal not just the behavior but the whole animal.
Wasn't it true that when people have problems with their dog, they seek the help of a dog trainer, but when they have problems with their cat, they seem to give up?
Well, what happens in my experience is that people, you know, the cat develops a little problem, you know, maybe it pees in the corner one time, and they just live with it. People don't think that cats can be trained. There's this perception that cats are so independent and so stubborn that, you know, you're just, there's no... no way to even attempt to correct a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so they live with the problem, and they live with it, and they live with it. And one day they say, oh, for Pete's sake, that's it. And boom, out the cat goes.
Mm-hmm.
Either locked out of the house or taken and dumped at a shelter or taken out into the country or, you know, try to be given away somewhere.
Right.
You know, if people take a cat with a behavior problem to a shelter, it will be euthanized. They're not doing the cat any favors.
Uh-huh.
By taking it to a shelter and just trying to dump the problem on someone else.
Yeah.
But what we want to emphasize is that virtually all behavior problems from scratching and peeing and aggression and fear, you know, the cat that lives in a closet, these can all be overcome relatively easily, although it does take some commitment on the part of the guardian to, you know, to really work with the cat. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, with dogs, it's pretty straightforward. Most dogs are chow hounds, and, you know, you get a cookie or a treat of some kind, you can get them to do anything. With cats, you know, they're not food motivated for the most part. So what you really have to do is provide a better alternative. So whatever the behavior that they're doing that you don't like, you have to provide an alternative that they will like better. So if they're scratching the snuckerdoodle out of your couch,
uh-huh.
you have to provide maybe a thistle scratching post or one that's tall enough or sturdy enough. I carried around with me for 15 years a beat-up piece of redwood. It was a 1x6, about 2.5 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
And it had deep grooves worn into it from my cat scratching on it for 15 years.
Wow, that's a good idea.
She loved that. That was her preference, was that soft, natural wood.
Uh-huh.
You know, and other cats prefer the rope, other cats prefer carpet. Most scratching post is interesting. The carpet is the wrong way around. They look cute, but really what the cat wants is the backing, because what they want to do is sink their claws into something and really get that good tug.
Yes.
So, you know, you don't have to declaw cats. It's really pretty easy to train them to do that. But with cats, it seems like people take these radical solutions, like, well, let's just do surgery to correct the problem. Well, you know, that's not really fair to the cat. And what we do see, and if you've talked to Annie much, you'd...
Well, yeah, I was going to say, Annie.
You get many worse problems.
Oh, yes. It's like open a can of worms.
You use some essences throughout your practice.
We're very big on flower essences.
Tell us a little bit about them, because I'm somewhat skeptical as far as that goes.
Oh, you're one of those.
Well, you show me that it works, and I'm in. You know.
Well, it's hard to prove, but I see so many times, you know, especially when I was in active practice, you know, even with people. I had a client that was hysterical. You know, she's about 6'2", and she was having a hysterical hissy fit at my front desk because she was so upset that we had given her bad news about the cat. The blood work came out bad, and, you know, and she was just beside herself. And I gave her a few drops of Rescue Remedy in the mouth, and within 2 minutes, we're having a rational conversation.
Ah.
It really, what it does is it takes off that edge of fear and restores the ability to cope.
I'll do that when my husband's sleeping.
Well, you know what? Have you
put it in his coffee.
Oh, there you go.
Have you heard of Comfort Zone?
Yes, that's a little bit different. That's a pheromone product, and it actually, we use it quite a lot. Because it helps cats relax because of the particular scent.
We have one in every room, and it seems to have made a difference in me, mostly.
Yes.
I'm much more relaxed.
Yes, good. That's very good. But we've taken essences a little bit step farther than most times, like Rescue Remedy, or if you get one of the box flower remedies, you're just getting a single remedy. What we've done is to kind of assess what the common behavioral problems are, the common syndromes that we see in companion animals. That's including horses and birds, not just dogs and cats. But, you know, and put a whole collection of remedies together to address the whole global issue. So if a cat is fearful, you know, there's probably a lot of reasons why it could be fearful. So we address, you know, a very broad spectrum of essences in the formula so that it really covers just about any reason that an animal could be fearful.
Okay. We are running out of time, but I could tell I definitely want to talk with you again, Dr. Gene Hovey. The website is www.littlebigcat.com, and of course, we'll put a link from animalradio.com. I appreciate you taking time to visit with us today.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Animal Radio on the way. Stick around.
Thanks.
I just want you to write this number down before we take our break here.
Okay.
1-866-405-8405.
Oh, you meant they write the number. I thought you meant I was supposed to write it down.
No, you should know that number by now.
Yes, I do.
It's so very important because the next time you run out of ink in your inkjet printer or your laser printer,
don't throw those empties away.
You want to pick up the phone and call 1-866-405-8405, and we will come to the rescue.
Yes, we'll take them off your hands.
We'll send you a postage-paid envelope, and you mail them to us, and we'll get you qualified for the Animal Radio Network No Name Giveaway, which so far, and it's going to get really big, I can tell right now, but so far already includes a couple of great prizes.
What are they?
The Steps for Pets Cat Tree Condo Mansion. There's really no name for it.
Yes, yes. And what else?
And by the way, you can see the Steps for Pets condo online at animalradio.com and check out the webcam. Also from Bissell.
Their Spot Lifter.
Deep Cleaner.
There you go.
Very nice stuff.
Very important for every pet owner.
Send us those cartridges, which you were going to throw away anyway, and fill the landfills. Because we turn them into money, and then we turn that money into educational programming like this and adoption events. So they're worth money to us also. As well as your old cell phones. If you get a new cell phone, we'll take your old cell phone. Get all the information at animalradio.com. Or call us at 1-866-405-8405 to get one of those postage paid envelopes.
Or email us at your voice at
animalradio.com. I wanted to read some email up today. I don't know if we'll have some time. We're always answering our email. We will be back, I can tell you that, with Tom Rowdy Bush. on Animal Radio. Stick around.
What's more delectable than caviar, more indulgent than curling up on cashmere, and more satisfying than purring the day away? New Fancy Feast Gourmet Gold Dry Cat Food. At last, a dry cat food good enough to be called Fancy Feast. Your cat will be in absolute bliss. Visit FancyFeast.com to find out how you can receive a free sample of new Fancy Feast Gourmet Gold.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
That's Polly the singing parrot. Very talented NPR parrot. That was fun when she was on Animal Radio. You know, we don't talk birds a lot. And that's just wrong. We've actually gotten a few emails, people saying, why don't you talk about birds? You know, they're good pets too. They are. They actually outlive their owners all the time. They live a long time. We'll find out a little more. The author of Teaching Your Bird to Talk, Tom Rowdy Bush. Great book, a top seller on... Amazon.com. Also the maker of Rowdy Bush Food for Birds. Are we ready? Do we have him on the phone? Do we have the great Tom Rowdy Bush on the phone with us?
We do, we do.
Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Very well. What city are you in?
Woodland, California.
Woodland, no relation to Woodland Hills.
No, no, other end of the state.
Yeah, Northern California. Northern.
Yeah, near Sacramento.
Oh, okay.
I am holding in my hand one of the top Amazon sellers right now, Teaching Your Bird to Talk.
Oh.
You have written it with Diane Grindahl, is that correct?
Right.
And it has captured my attention. It seems that this is one of the great brand new references from Wiley Publications. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm pretty pleased with it. It's nice to do some work and have it turn out well.
You also have your Rowdy Bush food, too.
Right, yeah, that's the main thing I do is make bird food.
Okay, so that's the first and foremost. That's the bread and butter. And of course, we'll talk in just a second about why it's so important to watch what your bird is eating. And we'll also give away some of the great maintenance food from Rowdy Bush. How many birds do you have at home?
None.
Well, now, why is that? That seems a little hypocritical.
Because,
all at the office?
Well, one of the things is that I think people need to take good care of their pets, and I'm not home enough to do that.
You have some at the office that you have?
No, we don't keep any birds around the feed manufacturing.
Well, then how the heck do you know so much about birds?
I did research at the University of California, Davis.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was there, we had about 400 cockatiels and 50 orange-winged Amazons.
Okay, that's wow. That's a lot of birds.
Yeah.
Now, if I was to go out and get a bird right now, and I'm in my just early 40s, almost late 30s, early 40s, around that area
okay.
Right there, is that something that, first of all, would that be advisable? I know that most birds may outlive that age, my lifespan that I have left. Is that something that would be fair to the bird?
I think first you have to look at the kind of lifestyle you have and whether or not you can give proper attention to a bird. Most parrots are very social and they need to interact, and if they're not around other birds, all they have is you. So that would be the first thing I'd look at. But as far as you outliving the bird or the bird outliving you, at the time when it looks like you may not be around anymore, you probably want to make sure the bird is very well socialized and you have someone in mind to pass the bird to and that they become well acquainted.
Very good advice.
What about birds and other animals? For instance, we have cats. Would it be advisable not to get a bird, or is it something that we can acclimate both of them very well?
It's a very individual situation. In fact, with the larger parrots, they tend to dominate the cat.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, so it's a question of, again, the exact circumstances. But lots of people do have many kinds of pets, and they do just fine.
Parrots are very smart, and perhaps even smarter than cats. I know, smarter than me. And plus, they can also talk and play with a cat. I know that some of them have actually played with dogs and called them and whistled for them and
teased them.
Yeah, teased them.
Exactly. They do that all the time. Those kinds of things happen a lot. The other target for that teasing tends to be teenage girls.
Yeah.
Because they pretend the phone's ringing, and then they call the teenage girl.
The book is Teaching Your Bird to Talk. What are some good tips about if you're just starting out and you have a bird that can learn to talk? And you're going to have to tell me what kind of birds those are. What are some good ways to start teaching your bird the right things to say?
The first thing would be to control your own language. The emotional content of language is what focuses a bird. They want to be part of the flock, and so when you're making noises, you're part of their flock. And if you make a noise with a lot of enthusiasm or a lot of emotion in it, they pick it up.
Uh-oh.
And you can imagine some four-letter words that get picked up really quick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good thing we don't have birds here.
Yeah, so that would be one of the first things I'd do is if you want to make sure it doesn't say anything that's a little rude, you just don't say rude things around it.
Okay.
And in teaching it to talk, there are several methods, but one of them would be to just talk around the bird, talk to the bird, repeat yourself. And try to couple that to some sort of, gratifying situation, either attention or maybe a treat or
associating it with something.
Yeah, like a lot of them will learn to say goodbye if you're going out the door. And so they associate the word and the action.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are more complex techniques. They call the model rival technique, where you can actually sit down and do some training, and they'll learn more than to talk. They'll learn how to count and differentiate different.
But do they really? Are they really counting?
Or they understand?
It's really clear that they are counting. There's good scientific work on that by Irene Pepperberg, who's currently, I believe, at Harvard, and she demonstrated very clearly that they are, in fact, cognizant and they count.
But when they're talking, are they emulating what they've heard, or are they actually talking and saying something from a cognizant thought?
So the question is, are they just parroting or are they actually thinking?
Well, if they can count.
It varies. Some birds are just repeating words that you say to them. Some birds are actually responding to a situation with some sort of information that's relevant. And so it varies. It depends on how they're taught and the context they're in.
Okay.
But they can go all the way from one end of that extreme to the other.
Leaving the TV on when your parrot's at home during the day, good or bad?
It's okay. They like to be around a lot of noise. It's a really tough question because if you put your parrot close to the TV and you have a parrot that's too noisy, it's just shouting over the television. So it's probably okay to leave it on while you're gone. But when you get home, if you want the bird to be quiet, you have to create a quieter environment.
Okay. Or what about music? We know about Polly the parrot, who I guess was around opera so long, now sings opera.
Yeah, and that kind of thing happens. Lots of people teach them songs and that kind of thing. And they can be taught to sing as well as to talk, much the same methodology.
Very good. Let's switch gears real fast because we're running out of time.
All right.
As you said, your prime product now is the food, the Rowdy Bush food. I don't know a lot about birds, but I guess they can get overweight. Is that correct?
Yeah, they sure can. It's really common because, you know, in the wild they burn a lot of energy, and in captivity they can't even get airborne in most cases.
Wow, I've heard of overweight dogs and cats. I've never heard of an overweight bird.
Well, it's actually a common problem, and it can cause reproductive failure in birds that people are trying to breed.
And I would imagine more than that, too.
Yes, it can. They can get fatty tumors and that kind of thing, and some of them get so fat that they can't walk normally, and so it's hard at them from a lot of points of view, and they can actually get their cholesterol too high.
Okay, well, for dogs and for people, you take a little walk, you do a little exercise, you change your diet.
Do you do any exercise? Do you change your diet? And how does the Rowdy Bush food play into this?
Well, probably you should do both. And one of the ways you change your diet a little bit is just restrict how much is available. But I do have a variety of diets that will be helpful to get birds to lose weight. One of them is a low-fat diet as opposed to the maintenance. And then if you get into our care line, which is made just to be used by veterinarians to be prescribed and only sold with a veterinary prescription, we actually have a reducing diet.
Wow.
That can be used to get the weight off.
Okay, I'm looking at some of the ingredients in the food. It all looks very high-end.
Oh, yeah, I'm very particular about that. When I did my research, I was impressed that we don't want to get too far out from what we really know about with these birds. People advocate colors and fragrances and various things, and I'm a little leery of that, given the metabolic mm-hmm. responses I've seen in the birds when I was doing research.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we get it periodically here. Someone will have a bird on a diet that has artificial colors in it, and we'll get a testimonial of a sort that says they took it off of that, put it on our feed, and the bird quit picking its feathers or in some other way improved its behavior.
Hmm. I hear a lot about these new bird-related diseases like the avian flu and such.
Yeah.
Is there a way to improve your bird's immune system so that it is not subject to any of these diseases?
The first thing you can do for the bird to help it resist disease is give it adequate diet and exercise. So give it a chance to get out of its cage and move around a little bit. Create an environment that's safe for it so that it can be active. And then supplying all the nutrients that it needs in the diet, it goes a long way, because a debilitated animal or a debilitated person is easily infected by these kinds of things.
I'm going to give out the website. It's www.rowdybush.com. It's RoudyBush.com. We'll put a link from animalradio.com. In fact, we're going to give away some of this food right now. What do we have, Judy?
We have 3 bags of the maintenance food from Rowdy Bush.
Food.
Yes.
1-866-405-8405. 1-866-405-8405. Can we get the food pretty much anywhere? Do we have to go online? How does that work, Tom?
Well, we have a store locator on the website, so that might be a helpful way to get to it.
And we also have 4 copies of Teaching Your Bird to Talk that we're going to give away.
Oh, we'll put those in with the food?
Yeah, give away a package with food and the book. What a deal.
And soon there's going to be the book, How to Tell Him to Shut Up. Because frankly, he's talking too much. And keeping us up at night. Tom, thank you so much for spending time with us here at Animal Radio.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
I'll tell you, you wouldn't want a bird around me because...
Why?
I just don't want things parroted.
Yeah.
I get upset when you do that.
Yeah.
We have a very big, important event happening in Los Angeles, and we want to wake up Coast listeners and everybody around, if you're listening on KTMS in Santa Barbara, or KSMA in, where is that, Santa Maria?
Uh-huh.
KVEC, I believe that's in San Luis Obispo, anywhere on the California coast, a very important event happening. What is it?
On Saturday, June 18th from 9 to 3 at the Granada Hills High School, it's going to be the annual Dog Expo and Pet Adoption. It's put on by the Los Angeles School Police Department, and all the proceeds will help purchase another dog. These dogs patrol the schools. They do public safety. They do a lot of things around the LA area, and there's going to be raffles throughout the day. Pet portraits is going to be a lot of fun on Saturday, June 18th from 9 to 3. More information, go to www.laspd.com.
And of course, if you don't live in Los Angeles, we have events all over the country, and you can go to animalradio.com to find out what's happening in your animal area. What kind of adoptions, all those fun things that are happening in your town at animalradio.com. We'll be back with more Animal Radio. Hold on, you lucky devil, you.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
We have time to speak to one more person, a very innovative lady who's learned to turn something into cash. We have Beth on the phone. Hey, Beth.
How are you, Hal?
Very well. How are you doing?
Well, it's getting too warm here now.
Where are we calling you?
Southwest Missouri.
Well, now, how warm can it get?
Well, 83. I'm native New York, you know, so.
Well, that sounds like perfect weather for me.
83 is a little much for me.
Well, now, you used to have a Datsun, Mary Marie.
Yes.
Was her name, is that correct?
Yes. That was one of them. Mary Marie was 19 when we lost her.
Wow. Mm.
And she was our first Dachshund. And Mary Marie had been abused to the point where it took a year before my husband could even go near her to pet her.
Wow. That's
she was a fear biter. She'd had broken ribs from being hit with 2x4s. And her emotional status was so fragile that you had to kind of approach Mary on her terms.
How old was Mary when you got her?
She was about 8. Uh-huh. And she was a sweetheart, but she really taught us so much, you know, being in the condition she was in and seeing how fragile, you know, their emotions can get.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Marie was the turnaround point for us.
When you say turnaround point, what turning around did you do?
From Mary Marie, we kind of jumped into rescue.
Okay.
And took more notice of, you know, what goes on in the world and how the animals are treated and, you know, how it stays with them for the rest of their lives. And, you know, that sometimes it takes patience.
Uh-huh. Kind of opened your eyes to the situation going on.
Like I said, for a year, my husband tried to pet her, and she'd have no part of that. Mm-hmm. She was so terrified of men.
You put together a printer. You're creating cards.
I used to work for a printer in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And we were at the Walmart one day last summer, and we saw this dog locked in a car with the windows cracked about a quarter of an inch. And it was hot, you know, in a Walmart parking lot. There's no shade.
Mm-hmm.
And this dog was just frantic. And, you know, I stood there and I thought, okay, you know, sometimes when you confront people, they get a little ugly.
Yes,
and
be careful.
I thought he'd probably get uglier if I took a tire iron to his back window.
Yeah.
Know, so I just said, I wish there was. So I left a little note, you know, on a receipt or something on his windshield. And then when I came home, I said, you know, I'll bet this would fly. Other people have got to be facing the same problems.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to confront someone.
Right.
But you want to do something. You want to let them know that people are watching and it's
wrong. Exactly.
And you actually created your own cards?
Yes. The stupid owner cards is what I call
them. The stupid owner cards. I love it.
And they cover basically, from what I can think of at this point, stupid situations that pet owners get into. And they may not realize it. You know, they may not think anything about, you know, well, we'll only be in the Walmart, you know, for 10 minutes.
They don't realize that it can get up to 115, 120
yes.
degrees in there.
Exactly.
So these little cards are like little tips, and I am looking at a few of them. I see the hot car. I see the running loose one. What is the running loose one?
The running loose is if you have a pet, in my opinion now, if you have a pet that has free run of, you know, the highway or the yard or the neighborhood or whatever, that there is an outside chance that pet's going to get hit by a car, you know, backed over by the garbage truck.
Now, I can see the car that for the hot car, the card for the hot car you could leave in the windshield.
Right.
Where do you leave the card for the running loose dog?
If you know where the dog is coming from, you could always stick it on the flag on the mailbox. You could put it on the windshield. You could put it on the front door. You know, you could stick it under the collar of the dog.
Okay. I see a chained one. What is the chained one?
The chained, we have dogs that are taken from the animal shelters or adopted through a breeder or however they're moved into the home. And a lot of times, at least in this neck of the woods, the dog is in the house, you know, for the first day and everybody's all excited and the kids love the dog and everything. And then all of a sudden, the dog gets moved to the backyard and put on a chain. And left in the backyard.
I think that's all over the country, not just in your neck of the woods, unfortunately.
Well, it's kind of sad. You know, that's not the life a human would want.
No.
You know, so we made one for that kind of a situation. We made one for a dog chained in the back of a pickup. Or free running in the back of a pickup.
Which is worse.
Yes.
No, I see one's called Friend. What is Friend?
Friend would be if you got the dog. It's kind of like the same situation, Hal. If you got the dog and everybody loved the dog the first day or so, and then the friend is just kind of left to the side. You know, it gets no attention. It gets, you know, water when somebody remembers, when the original thought might have been that this was going to be your friend. You know, it was going to watch TV with you or go for a walk or sit on the porch. You know, it was going to be a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets, should I say, discarded
mm-hmm.
into the yard or into, you know, wherever, the other room, and it just kind of gets forgotten about.
Yeah, you know, they're not always physically neglected. They're kind of emotionally neglected. They're given food, water, and shelter, but that's the end of it, yes.
Right. You know, no one ever talks to the dog. No one ever goes out to pet the dog or
mm-hmm.
walk with the dog or sit down next to the dog and kind of, you know, pet it, hold it, talk to it. It's just kind of
a piece
of furniture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just kind of there.
It's the stupid owner cards as seen on TV, in the newspapers, and now on Animal Radio. Where can we get them if we want them?
They can be ordered directly through the website, www.jbslegacy.com. There's a order form there. You can order one. You can order 100. I have a couple of groups that are interested in using the writing, but they are specifically Dachshund Rescue or Pit Bull Rescue or Husky Rescue, and they want to use their own pictures on them.
Okay, and we're going to give a couple away, but you've got to have a reason. It's got to be one of these reasons, whether you know...
Well, we're going to do the... She has a collection set.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to do 3 collection sets so you can have a set of cards for every reason.
Okay, very good. 1-866-405-8405.
Give us a call now and we'll hook you up to some of those. Thanks, Beth. Before we go, remember, if you get an animal this week, spay or neuter. And, of course, don't pay for an animal. You don't have to do that. Go to your breed rescue. You can find one online. Everything you heard on the show today, including information about all the contests and the giveaways, all at animalradio.com. We'll see you next week. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
This is Animal Radio Network.